Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemne Parish Church. If you are a visitor in our midst, we welcome you most warmly to this time of worship together. We have a few intimations to share before we begin our time of worship. First of all, last week it was announced that we would have a church census here today, and the forms would be handed out as you entered the church. But as you can see, we don't have any forms. Please try to contain your disappointment. That's how it goes. So maybe next year or the next time we have the opportunity, we will do so. An intimation to share about Christian Aid. The annual jog walk is coming up from 10 to 11 a.m. on Saturday, 14th of May, this coming Saturday, in the Pleasure Park. And sponsor forms have been handed out in the primary schools. They're also available from Leslie Mackay. Please speak to him for more information. And I also draw your attention to the second intimation about the Christian Aid shop. Stalls will be set up in the church center at the times and dates listed in your bulletin. More help is required and very much welcome for that. Please also speak to Leslie about that opportunity as well. Our social committee is having a shared lunch at the church center on the 29th of May. At 12:30, and there'll be a donation bucket at that lunch for our Kemne Kirk Anytime Anywhere project. So please do consider putting that shared lunch in your diaries, and please do come along. We'll also have a silent auction of skills and objects on June 18th, 10 to 11 a.m. at Kemne Church Center, and tea and coffee and shortbread will also be on sale. If you'd like more information about this intimation, as it's listed in your bulletin, please do speak with Noel Lord for more information or email her at her address listed. An intimation about our Bible discovery groups as well. I believe the Monday group with Dr. David Bale is continuing on Mondays at 7:30. Yes, David? And Thursday is back in session now, Jeff, as well. And the Wednesday group with myself is on holiday for a couple weeks while Heather and I are away. And the Wednesday group will resume on the 25th of May. And each of these groups is a great opportunity, even if you've never been before, to come along and learn more together about God's Word. So I commend those groups to your consideration. I believe we have one more intimation about Gospel for Grampian in the gym. Would you like to share it?
Yeah, very briefly, you'll notice on the announcement sheet here that there is actually an announcement about a quiz night, which is taking place on the 14th, which is next Saturday evening. 7:30 in the Village Hall. It's an opportunity to help raise money for Gospel for Grampian. You're probably aware, we've said before, that the Gospel for Grampian radio service is an internet-only radio service. And services from Kemne here are broadcast every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. So you can hear the service again if you wish to hear it by tuning in to Gospel for Grampian each week. They also use the sermon part of the service on their Friday morning sermon of the week slot as well. So it's not necessarily every sermon that occurs there. So we are, as a church, you know, quite involved and have supported Gospel for Grampian in the past. So if you're inclined to come along to a quiz night, which will be very entertaining, Anne Brown's arranging it, so it must be good. So I'd encourage you to take part in that if you would like to come and join it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family this morning? Yes, Martin. Well, with those intimations shared, let us enter into our time of worship together by singing our gathering song, Strength Will Rise, Everlasting God.
It's all right.
Will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will
Let us pray. Lord of all time and all space, worthy are you of honor, glory, and praise. The glory of spring is all around us, and we as your people continue to bask in the glory of your empty tomb. And as the days continue to grow longer, we pray, O Lord, that you will fill our hearts with the warmth and light to cheer our days. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the one in whom all truth is found, all faith is confirmed, and all love expressed. By being raised from the dead, you have destroyed the veil of darkness over our hearts. You have placed your light within us, giving us the greatest example of how we ought to live by faith, not by sight. And by choosing to love us when we were still enemies of your grace, you have shown us that your love truly conquers all. And Lord, even though your tomb is empty, we do confess how quick we are to deviate from the path of life that you have shown to us. We confess how quick we are to forget the timeless truths of Scripture, how quickly we allow ourselves to be swayed by the voices of those who give no thought to your truth. Lord, there is never a season when we find ourselves not in need of your forgiveness and constant love. Give us a renewed sense of our dependence on you, so that we will in turn be motivated to share your love with those who find themselves in need of your grace and your healing touch. And Lord, do not let us be dissuaded by the darkness of the world, but empower us truly to live and work in the knowledge that the battle has already been won. You have been raised, and it is only a matter of time until all darkness is dispelled and your light shines forevermore. Holy Spirit, on this final Sunday of the Easter season, we pray for you to truly be in our midst. And as we conclude our journey through the story of Esther together, we pray that you would teach us what you would have us know. Take this time and shape us into what you would have us be. Take this time and instruct us in what you would have us do. Take this time and make us yours forever and ever. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And we continue to worship our God through song with singing of our next hymn, Lord, for the years, and during this hymn, your offering for God's continued work here in Kemnay and beyond will be uplifted.
Lord and Father, we give thanks for the pleasure of gathering together here today. Almighty God, we thank you for your holy word. May it be a lantern to our feet, a light upon our paths, and the strength in our lives. We bring our monetary offerings before you today and trust that these will be used prudently in your honour, both here in Kemney and further afield. You have endowed us all with many talents. We bring these before you today and trust you will guide us to use these in your name to help others. How majestic is your name in all the earth, Lord. You have provided us with a diverse and ever-changing world which continually permeates our senses with joy and wonder. How magnificent is your creation. You are truly awe-inspiring. We thank you, Lord, for being ever-present with us. We are all pilgrims on the journey through life, and we know that you walk beside us. Your footprints are deeply embedded when we require your strong support and barely visible when we feel your purposeful strength. Your faithfulness is immense and constant. We thank you, Lord. May we continue to feel your presence and live our lives in such a way that shows your guidance, your fingerprints upon us. We know that we can falter and become self-centered, thoughtless at times. Please forgive our misdeeds and moments of weakness, just as Jesus did, both his friends and enemies. Help us to be more steadfast in our faith. We are so grateful, Lord, for our homes, our jobs, our food, our health, our freedom. Help us, Lord, to step outside our complacency and remember those who are less fortunate. Stoke our compassion and enable us to be concerned to help others, be it by word or deed. Help us to do your will. Dear Lord, be with us all today as we gather to praise you. Be with Joshua as he reveals his choice of sermon topic and develops our understanding of fingerprints of faithfulness in the Old Testament book of Esther. Lord, through your faithfulness to us and your fingerprints upon us, may the fire of our devotion light the way for others. May the footprints that we leave lead others to believe, and the lives we lead inspire others to walk alongside you too, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And we continue to worship God now with singing of our next song, Be Thou My Vision.
Oh,
Good morning. It's time for the children's story today, and I brought one of my favorite series that tells Bible stories today. This is the fourth one, and it has some pictures, and so I thought we might do kind of a seek and find. I'm going to show you a picture, and you're going to tell me if you can see that. So first, can you see somebody hiding in the bushes? Can you see that? Can you see somebody hiding in the trees, in the bushes? Can you see somebody there? And what about, can you find a baby? Do you see a baby, like baby Joshua? Is there a baby? Lewis found a baby. He found two babies there. What about you guys? Can you find a baby? And what's the baby in? A basket. Did you see that? Very good. Any idea what story this might be? Has anyone heard this? Adults might be able to help. Baby Moses was put in a basket, and he was put down the river. And guess what? The princess found him. There's a princess in there. Lewis, can you see? There's a princess. Got a crown there. A princess found him. So, do you see God in the picture? Ooh, this one's hard. Can you see God in the picture? But was God at work saving baby Moses? Yeah, so God was at work, but we can't see him in the picture. Okay, let's go on to, I bet you guys might know this one. This is one of my favorite stories. Okay, can anyone find a spear, the weapon? Can you find that? Very good. Let's see, can you find a big man in yellow, Lewis? Do you see a big man in yellow with a spear? Look at that. And can you find the little man? The little person? The little one. Let's see. And can you find a slingshot? Can you find the seek and find? It's really tiny. Any idea what story this one is? Do you remember this one, Katie? David and Goliath is this one. And do you know what happens in this story? He takes him down, doesn't he? In fact, this is kind of a fun, does it show the picture? He took him down, he's on the ground. Little David fought Goliath with just a little slingshot. But in those pictures, can you see God in those pictures? Can you see God in there? There's God in that picture. No, God's not there. But was he helping? Was he at work? Interesting. And another good one. Think about that, what story that is. Let me show Lewis. What do you see in that picture? Do you see a big whale? And is there a man in there? Any idea, Katie or Annabelle? Do you remember his name? Do you remember? Jonah is in his tummy. It's in his tummy. But do we see God in that picture? We don't see God there. Our moms and dads have been learning about a story during the sermon time, and it is called the Book of, let me see, I have a little one in here, the Book of Esther. This is Queen Esther. And one of the things that they have learned about the story of Queen Esther is it's one book in the Bible that God is never mentioned. You can't see him in the pictures of the Book of Esther. But God was still at work and working faithfully. And so then I have one last thing to show you. Who's that? We'll show everybody here. They can check themselves out. Okay, who's in that? Who do you see? you see your family in there. So just like in the Bible, we get to continue the story of the Bible. But we don't always see God at work in our lives, because can we see him with our eyes all the time? We can't always see God, but we can see his fingerprints. We can see evidence of him at work in our lives. And so one of the things I love about the Old Testament is they couldn't see Jesus. He wasn't right there. And so it gives us stories to have faith, even when we can't see God at work, that he is at work and he is faithful. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the stories of the Old Testament, which help encourage us to have faith in you, even when we can't see you, and that you help us to do amazing things, but we need to have faith and to believe and to trust. Lord, I thank you so much for Kimney Parish Church and for these boys and girls. And would you help all of us to have more faith in you, even when we can't see you? We pray this in your name, and all God's children say, amen. Thanks, you guys.
As Heather said, we can't always see God, but we know God's always at work, and God wants us to trust him. And so in that spirit, we're going to sing our next song, I'm Going to Take a Step of Faith.
It's all fun.
I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to put my trust in the Lord.
Let us pray. Sovereign Lord, we come before you now with hearts in need of an assuring word from you. We come before you now as people whose lives are in need of your healing touch. The word that you have spoken to us in Scripture tells us everything we need to know, everything we need to believe about who you are and about who we are in you. And as we prepare to hear your word to us this morning, we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be at work in each of us so that we may hear you speaking to us through the story of Esther. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength and the redemption of all who trust in you. Amen. Well, several weeks ago, when we first started this series on the book of Esther, I said something to the effect that this book is one of the most overlooked treasures of the Old Testament and of the entire Bible. And now at the end of this series, I think we can say in Kimney Kirk that Esther is no longer overlooked, is it? Sermons on Esther in the church as a whole are hardly ever preached. And at first glance, there may be some measure of good reason why it's been so overlooked. As we know, God is the central focus of the entire Bible. God's the main actor. God's the main director of Scripture. But as Heather said a moment ago, Esther's the only book of the Bible that doesn't even mention God. And several well-known teachers, preachers, and scholars of the Bible have openly wondered why this story was included as a part of Scripture. However, despite those speculations, Esther is a part of the Bible. And in the words of St. Paul, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching. And in my view, this certainly holds true for Esther as well. In many ways, I think Esther is one of the most relatable stories in the Bible, because this story is not filled with people of perfect faith and perfect action. This story is filled with very flawed, very imperfect characters, isn't it? Back in chapter 1, we were introduced to King Xerxes, who ruled over the entire Persian Empire during his lifetime. We learned how this king seemed to have an insatiable thirst for debauchery and vice, for all those things that lead to moral and spiritual decay. We were introduced to his queen, Vashti, who told him off for attempting to parade her around like an object at a banquet in front of his male guests. In the ensuing chapters, we were then introduced to Mordecai and to Esther, both of whom were something far less than perfect. Mordecai, the man who raised Esther, convinced her to use her beauty to seduce the king so that she would become the next queen. He convinced her to live in a manner that flat out contradicted the manner of life she was supposed to have as a Jew, as one of God's elected people. And for her part, Esther, in the beginning of the story, went along with Mordecai's plan. She was a willing participant in everything that Mordecai and others told her to do. Time and again, the main characters in the story seemed to make mistake after mistake, and those mistakes, such as Mordecai refusing to bow before Haman, and the resulting consequences of Haman using Mordecai's disrespect as an excuse to form a plan to eradicate the Jewish people from the Persian Empire, all these things seem to be moving the story towards utter calamity and disaster. And yet, during all of this time, even though he's never mentioned, even though he's never seen, God was at work in each of these very imperfect characters. Even though they couldn't see him, even though they couldn't hear him, every character in this story, the good ones and the bad ones, all bear fingerprints of God's faithfulness to his ultimate plan. And last week, in our time together, the power of God's providential will was on full display when, during a recitation of his past deeds on a sleepless night, Xerxes was informed about Mordecai's overlooked service in the past, and he instructed Haman, the very man who hated Mordecai, the great enemy of the Jews, to parade him around the city and to sing Mordecai's praises for what he had done for the king. And we heard last week that only the power of God could achieve such a dramatic reversal. Only God could create such an unexpected turn in the midst of certain defeat. And this great disrupting reversal can be summed up in one of the phrases that we heard, that God uses all the wrong roads to bring us to all the right places. And the moment of reversal has happened in the story of Esther, but we still need to hear how this reversal played out, where it led to. So with this in mind, let us now hear what God is saying to us in the final part of Esther's story. This morning's reading begins at chapter 7, verse 1, which can be found on page 506 of the Church Bibles. We'll be reading a bit from chapter 7, a section from chapter 8, and from chapter 9, but starting on page 506 of the Church Bibles. Hear the word of God. And so the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet. And as they were drinking wine on the second day, the king again asked, "Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given to you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favor with you, your majesty, if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet, because no such distress would justify disturbing the king." And King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, "Who is he? Where is he, the man who has dared to do such a thing?" And Esther said, "An adversary and an enemy, this vile Haman." And then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. And the king got up in a rage, left his wine, and went out into the palace garden. and continuing at 8, verse 1, also on page 506. That same day, King Xerxes gave Queen Esther the estate of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came into the presence of the king, for Esther had told how he was related to her. The king took off his signet ring, which he had reclaimed from Haman, and presented it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed him over Haman's estate. And again at 8, verse 15. When Mordecai left the king's presence, he was wearing royal garments of blue and white, a large crown of gold, and a purple robe of fine linen. And the city of Susa held a joyous celebration. For the Jews, it was a time of happiness and joy, gladness and honor. In every province and in every city to which the edict of the king came, there was joy and gladness among the Jews, with feasting and celebrating. And many people of other nationalities became Jews, because fear of the Jews had seized them. And finally, chapter 9, 20 through 23, on page 508. Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews throughout the provinces of King Xerxes, near and far, that they should celebrate annually the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar, as the time when the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month when their sorrow was turned into joy and their mourning into a day of celebration. He wrote to them to observe the days as days of feasting and joy and giving presents of food to one another and gifts to the poor. And so the Jews agreed to continue the celebration they had begun, doing what Mordecai had written to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, out of everything we just heard read aloud, I would like to especially highlight one phrase from chapter 9, verse 22, which tells us that because of the actions of Esther and Mordecai, and even more importantly, because of God's will working through them, the Jewish people were not annihilated, they were not destroyed, but instead they received relief from their enemies. Now, other translations render this verse as rest from their enemies. True rest. And I prefer that translation. Back in the book of Exodus, when the Ten Commandments are given, the commandment about the Sabbath, to honor it and obey it, it says, "For the Lord your God rested on the seventh day." It's the exact same word in Hebrew that's used for God's rest, God's stillness that's used here. The kind of rest that leads to wholeness, to healing. So in light of this verse, we can say that the end game of Esther and Mordecai and the end game of God's reversing providential will was to enable the people of God to receive rest from their enemies, from those who sought their destruction. And how did Esther and Mordecai achieve this? They did it by beating Haman at his own game. Esther used her position as queen to gain the king's favor, and she used that favor to convince the king to issue another decree that made it legal for the Jews of Persia to defend themselves from those who, like Haman, wanted to see their destruction. And in the later chapters of Esther, in sections we did not read aloud in church, our text tells us that this Jewish counter-resistance was beyond successful, that the Jews of the time utterly annihilated those who wished to destroy them. And that was how Esther and Mordecai succeeded in getting rest from their enemies. Sounds good, doesn't it? But here's the rub. As glorious as it was, the rest that they won from their enemies would not last forever. In fact, throughout the whole Old Testament, any period of rest or relief for the people of God never seems to last. Moses, the one drawn out of the water that we learned about today in the children's sermon, Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of oppression, but that rest didn't last. Joshua led the conquest of Canaan, but the rest won from that victory didn't last. King David gave rest to God's people for a while through military victories, but it didn't last either. Esther and Mordecai helped give rest to God's people, but that didn't last forever either. The rest that was won for God's people never lasted, and they knew it. And that's one of the reasons why throughout the Old Testament there's such a strong strain of looking forward to a time when the rest for God's people is not a fleeting, not a temporary event. There's a yearning in the pages for something more. Consider the following words from the prophet Daniel. These words gave great expression to the hope for rest and relief that would not end. Daniel said, "And behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. He came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and a glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion, an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." An everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, a kingdom that shall not be destroyed. That's the hope, that's the yearning for rest and relief that will not come to an end. And we've heard that Esther and Mordecai did win some rest and relief for God's people, but it didn't last. It didn't last. Why? Why didn't it last? Because they employed the same tactics against those who sought to deny rest to God's people. Put more simply, Esther and Mordecai and those with them used violence to overcome violence. But what happens when we use violence to overcome violence? More what? More violence. And as we have said before, Esther shows us that God is at work even when we can't see him. And God is even at work even in the seemingly endless cycle of violence. And the story of Esther and the rest that was won for the people of God at that time is pointing towards a greater reality, a greater rest, one that will never end, fully revealed in the life and the work of Jesus Christ. God's providential will is working in the story of Esther, but it's also at the same time looking beyond Esther to Jesus Christ. And in the life and work of Jesus, something truly new has happened. Rather than continuing with the previous pattern of temporary rest and relief and then disruption and upheaval, God did something startlingly different and new in Jesus. In the words of Tim Keller, a Presbyterian pastor in New York City, Jesus Christ reveals God is not so concerned to destroy this enemy or that enemy, but God wants to destroy enmity. Enmity. Jesus Christ shows us that God wants to destroy evil and injustice, those things that are eating away at the world that he loves. And how has Jesus destroyed enmity? Through the cross. Scripture says, "For he himself is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing hostility." Now, if we as Christians respond to the evil that is in the world with more evil, if we respond to violence with more violence, that only leads to more of it overall. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth only results in far more blindness and far fewer smiles. And Jesus offers us a different way. Jesus offers us a way that we truly need. Because of what he has done on the cross, because the Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts, we have another way that we can overcome evil with good. And as Christians, we can choose to respond to the evil that we see in the world with God's disruptive grace. Violence only continues a cycle, but grace turns the entire enterprise on its head. And right now, all around us, the world is full of high-profile examples of people, one of whom is now a presumptive nominee for president, who insists on business as usual, who are hell-bent on returning every act of evil and wickedness for an even bigger one in return, and who somehow think that that sort of behavior will lead to a positive result in the end. The human soul, our souls, our lives, we yearn for real rest. The human soul craves peace, but all too often we try to attain such things under our own power apart from God, and we give up and we resign ourselves to a life filled with frustration and resentment, to a life that doesn't seem to be any different from the world around us. But it doesn't have to be that way. As was the case with Esther and with Mordecai, the fingerprints of God's faithfulness are all over our lives too. They are all over our lives. And nowhere is this more seen than in the new way of love-centered living offered to us in Jesus. No matter what has come before in our lives, God has made it possible for each of us to make a new and a better choice right here and right now. Past cycles of anger, resentment, and violence can end right now. God wants them to end right now. And God wants the new life of love, of peace, of rest to start right now. These things are ours for the asking. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for speaking to us through the story of Esther. Thank you for reminding us that even when we can't see you, even when we can't hear you, you are always, always at work in the world. Thank you for leaving your fingerprints of faithfulness all over our lives. And as we enter into another week, give us the grace to embrace your promises to us, so that we will follow in the way of Jesus and tell others about your love. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen. God's fingerprints are all over our lives. There is never a time when God is not faithful to his promises or faithful to us. So in that spirit, we now sing our next song, Faithful One.
prayers for the world, we've only got to look at the daily news to realise how much trouble our world is in. And I know these major troubles will feature in the prayers of many of you on a regular basis. So today, I'm wanting to look at quite two different areas. So let's join together in prayer. Lord, on this calm day, when we marvel anew at your creation and your bounty, and we come together in safety and in freedom to worship, we give you thanks for these things. We know only too well how fortunate we are, and we commit to your care the many thousands who are suffering from terrorism and homelessness, from hunger and from the destruction of their lives, for those who are persecuted for their beliefs, and those who are currently fleeing the fires in Canada. We turn our thoughts to another area of need, to Malawi and the hospital in Nakoma. Our mission partners, David and Rebecca Morton, along with Rob Jones, a hospital pharmacist, report great and continuing difficulties, mostly financial. The government free services for mothers and young children have been suspended, with no indication of being restored. Consequently, the hospital is owed a great deal of money, which results in rising care costs, leading to great stress and worry for the staff, and to the families staying away when they should come for care. We pray for the government to recognise the great need of their people for good health care, and to see that helping established hospitals is the simple and only way forward. Lord, in the words of David and Rebecca, we pray that you will empower them and their staff to serve with love and with care, that you'll provide resources, wisdom, faithfulness, and compassion, empowering them to meet the challenges they face. We give you thanks for the Mortons, for Rob, and for the many other people who dedicate their lives and who fight against bureaucracy and corruption to bring health and well-being, along with your word and your hope, to your people in need. We give thanks for the training of new Malawian doctors like Dixon, who will in time bring much needed help to the hospital and to his local people. We pray for success for the ongoing fundraising through Presbytery for his training. We thank you that Noel visited the hospital, bringing back their needs to us, challenging us to help, and thanks that we can rise to meet those challenges. We bring to you our thanks for the work of the Wycliffe Bible translators, thinking especially of Jen, now back in the UK, preparing for her forthcoming marriage. We thank you that there are people who respond to your call to use their linguistic skills in this way, bringing your word and all that entails to people who have never had that opportunity. For many, the chance to see or hear your word in their own language is life-changing. Jen reports that over 2,500 New Testaments in the local Ketubah language have been sold since last October. We give thanks for this spreading of your word. The team in Congo are going through a time of many changes, and we pray that replacements will be found to continue this important work, building on what has been done. We pray for the work of Jen and her husband-to-be, Richard, as they continue to serve you. Strengthen and support them, we ask, in all that they do. We turn our thoughts nearer to home, and we pray for those we know who are in need of your comfort just now, especially the family of little Khadija, who so very tragically died recently. We pray her family will know your comfort and strength to see them through the difficult times ahead, and that they will come in your time to feel your peace. We ask your blessing on us all, Lord, as we go through the week ahead. Help us to see when to speak or to act, and when to hold still. help us to hear your voice clearly. We ask your blessing on Joshua and Heather as they begin their time of holiday. May they truly relax, enjoying their time together. We bring our prayers, as always, in the strong and steadfast name of your Son and our Saviour, Jesus. Amen.
Let us sing our closing song of worship together, one of my favorites. Great is thy faithfulness. The message of Esther is this, that even when we can't see him, even when we can't hear him, the fingerprints of God's faithfulness are all over the world and all over our lives. Go forth from this place and tell others just how faithful God has been to you. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon each of us and upon all who we love, this day and forevermore.